Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. I've spoken on this before. I just felt, as I shared last week at our dinner, we shared part of that prophetic word that our friend in New Zealand gave us. And I just felt it stirred my heart, and I've been on it all week. So I thought, well, I'll just share a few things around that scripture. So I'm going to look at that scripture. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the deep darkness of the peoples, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. What a brilliant, brilliant word. That is such an awesome word. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Look at those two. I don't even know what those words are. Has. I don't know what to call those words. But it's past tense. Arise and shine, for your light has come. We're not waiting for it. It has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, I've said before, and I've introduced the scripture, that if you go back to the end of chapter 59, it is talking about how the Lord looked for someone to help, and then that he said he sent a redeemer who would come. And it's a clear picture of Jesus coming and taking the sin of the world and being the redeemer. And this is the scripture, the declaration that follows, because of what Jesus has done, this is what follows. This is what follows. So it's not millennium scripture. It's not something that's going to come to pass in the millennium. It's now. This is a prophetic statement for now, for us today. I've said this before. I know we've heard this, Ian. it's just grabbed me again this week. And I think if we get a handle on this, we'll be unstoppable. Seriously. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Has come. What is light? What does light do? I was thinking about this. When we get home at night, what's the first thing we do when we get into the house? Turn the lights on. Why? So we can see. So we can see. What does light do? It illuminates everything. So we can see where to go. So we can see what's got to be done. So we can see what truly is. See, if you walk into a house with the lights off, someone could have moved something around or something, you'll trip over it. But when the lights are on, you can see the stumbling blocks. You can see what really is there. You with me? Not what may be, not what someone's opinion. You actually know what's there. You can see it. It's there. That's what the light does. Arise and shine, for your light has come. But there's something bigger than that. It encapsulates all that. That this light is the light of life as well. Jesus said, if you follow me, you will not, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Jesus said, it was a claim, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then he says, and it's recorded in Matthew, then he goes, you are the light of the world. Isn't that what he says? So this Isaiah prophecy must be for us, because Jesus has already announced it. You are the light of the world. And the light doesn't get hidden. It gets put out where it shines, light on everything. And he talks about a light is like a city on a hill. Have I shared this with you before? It's a city on the hill. At night, in Israel and around that time, towns and things, if there was one around, were built on a hill for a number of reasons. One, so they could see their enemies coming. And also at night, the travelers got caught at night. They didn't have torches. They could see in the distance what? The light of the city they could go to, so that those who were walking in darkness see a great light and, that's where we've got to go. Got it? Those, remember, there's a prophecy about that. Those who walk in darkness shall see a great light, because light dispels darkness. And this light has come. Your light, my light, has come. Past tense. Already done. Done deal. You and I have the light of the world. The light of the light of eternity is on us, in us, now. Oh, but I don't feel it. On what you feel. Seriously. On how you feel about it. I mean, this is to me. I'm me too. You know, when things go wrong and everything's in your face, the light hasn't gone out. Jesus has not departed. He hasn't run away. He said, oh, well, you can't hang around with you. The light stays until you ditch him. And even then, I'm not so sure. The light is there. The light, your light and my light has come. That means every morning when you wake up and you've had a lousy night's sleep and the last week's hassles are getting to you and all the struggles are getting to you, you wake up in the morning and say, the light of the universe is on me. Say it out loud. And say it out loud until it becomes real. If it takes an hour to keep saying it, keep saying it. Seriously, I mean, I don't know if you probably were looking at it, what a stupid thing. It is not a stupid thing to do. It is what reality is. See that, you know, our two kingdoms? This is the one we live in. For those who don't, there'll be people who haven't seen me do this. What is it, Colossians? I still don't even know the text. Pretty pathetic, is it? Colossians 1, verse 15. Says, for he has delivered us, guys should be able to say this with me, delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his son. We'd be taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of light, of his son, or his light. This is where we live. This is our home. This is where our citizenship is, in this kingdom. Not that one, this one. The problem is, they kind of are all meshed around. We're sitting by, we're walking through, we're in a world that still tends to be run by this kingdom. We'll get onto that in a minute. Nevertheless, this kingdom is expanding all the time. That's what my scripture says. And the Old Testament says, for the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of my God and of his Christ. The glory of the Lord shall expand. We'll get onto that in a minute too. This kingdom will not fade away. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. Now that you don't think it does because the media don't want to tell you that. But the reality is, it is. Not how we would always see it, but it is. If you look around, if you look nowhere to look, go on your internet and everything, and you can see where thousands and thousands and thousands of people are coming to the Lord. Not yet in this country, but it's happening. There is stuff happening in this country that is very encouraging. That's our kingdom. It's the kingdom of light. Don't know what I was going to say about that anymore. I've lost track. We'll just move on. It might come to me later. That's the kingdom of light. Yes. So when we wake up feeling stink, horrible, blur, we haven't woken up in this kingdom. You understand that, don't you? But often we think because of how we feel, because everything's in our face that's annoying us, that's dragging us down, that's a weight upon our heart and soul, a weight upon our spirits. We think that we are back here. Oh, you're no good. Look at this. You can't. All the down things come. But the reality is, this is still where we are. So when those things get in our face, and this is the fight of faith. You have to stand up. Trust me, you have to do this. I've said this before. You have to stand up. My light has come. And my light, it's my light. And that light is in me. Because Jesus said so. It's called faith. And if it doesn't feel as if it is, you say it again. Still doesn't feel like it is, you say it again, and you say it again. And I walk around the room, and I declare it until something begins to change in my heart and in my spirit and in my mind, till it begins to feel like a reality. Because I'm no use to anyone while I'm walking around in the... I've got to get out of that, and I've got to... You know, it's a battle. Sometimes it's a battle. You know, when you're tired and worn out and you're really disappointed things haven't gone, it is a battle. Trust me. You know what I'm talking about. If you're struggling, ring someone up and say, pray for me. I'm in this. I'm trying to get through to here. Just pray for me, will you? You know, we're in this together. But you have to do it. Because this scripture says that's the truth. Just imagine if we all woke up every morning. Oh, I'll go on to the next bit. And the Lord says, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Has risen. So the light is ours, already in us, and the glory of God's over us. Has risen over. Has risen. Past tense. Sure, things don't feel like that one. How many of you feel that one's a reality in your life? See, that's scary. Because I don't often feel that. But imagine if we lived our life in the absolute certainty of that reality. Just imagine it. Imagine it just for a day. If we absolutely lived, or we lived in the absolute certainty that the light of God is in me, that His glory has risen upon me. Imagine what it would be like. Just think of that. But it's true. This is what's been stirring me this week. So a couple of times during the week, actually more than a couple of times, I've stood in the mirror and I said, Ian Moody, it was really strange doing it the first time. He said, Ian Moody, the light of God has risen upon, is in you, and the glory of God is all over you. Felt funny talking to myself in the mirror, but I thought I'd just tell myself. Because he said, I'm only quoting his words. Arise and shine, Ian, for the light of God is in you, and the glory of God is all around you. Can't say that it's all gone perfectly this week for me, but there's been some. But I'm starting. And it's hit. Just imagine if we lived that reality every single day. Just imagine, in spite of our circumstances, because this is what God wants us to do. To live the life of faith in spite of our circumstances. Not that we ignore Him, but we deny those circumstances' influence over our lives, because He is bigger than our circumstance. And as we keep pushing forward, I think we've been hearing that this morning, as we can. I got prophesied that this morning. We were at our prayer meeting, the word came out. As we keep pushing forward with this, God will take care of our circumstances. The danger is that we're looking for the glory and expecting the wrong things. We often want this stuff and what we're looking for, but He's not interested in this stuff. It's killing people. He's not interested in it. He will only expand this stuff in our lives and through us. And sometimes that means bits have to be stripped away. I don't like stripping away much. It's not very comfortable. I don't like it. Don't like it. But I have to get to a point and say, all right, Lord, this is my reality right now. Whinging and complaining ain't going to change anything. So therefore, I'll accept this reality and declare that Your light is in me and Your glory still shines over me and around me. Is that right? Everyone excited about that? Yeah. I am. I've got it on my iPad, you see. It's one of my declarations now. I've got it there. See what? Next bit. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. Of course, everyone likes to tell you about how dark the world's getting. It's the great theme of the end timers. Oh, the world's getting dark. I think it was getting dark the moment Adam believed a lie. It's not new. It just seems to go in waves. You look at history, it's waves of prosperity, peace, waves of blow. It seems to, and we've got this seeming monster in a world of darkness and everything. But what's the, anyway, I won't get into that. Let's not be surprised when people behave like this world. Don't get shocked. I mean, we do feel it shocking in a place like England where it happens, where we've had the strong foundation of righteousness and goodness, and we get shocked at that. Oh my gosh. But having a structure to live in doesn't guarantee that the people in that structure are going to be redeemed people. So don't be surprised that there's darkness, and don't be surprised that there's thick darkness. Yep, that's exactly what he said. It's going to happen. Will happen. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. So that kind of describes it, doesn't it? Pretty much describes it. And it manifests differently in different places. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's not. And the root problem is that people in this... See, this world is what ultimately truly is. It what exists. It what is ultimately there. Because it's light. Light reveals what is and is not. Even the crummy bits, it shows it all up. You know, Jesus said, John 19, he said that men I can't quite quote it properly. Someone can look up John 3:19. It says that it's that people that the men love darkness and would not come into the light. People like the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And light will reveal evil, because it reveals what's truly there, the good things and the not so good things. It does reveal it. And how we respond to those things depends on how we continue. Interesting thing, if you go, well, I'm just thinking back to when I don't know any modern illustrations for this. Remember the old days when we went to parties and stuff, and you know, there'd be people in a room and they were doing things that just probably weren't, they should not, ought not to be doing. You know, so you bowl into it, you know, you open the door and it's dark, you know, the light begins to shine in. A number of things will happen. Three things will happen. Three things. Number one, some will suddenly drop what they're doing. Oh, g'day Ian, how you doing? Oh, Ian. And they'll come out into the light. And say, oh. Others will retreat further back into the light. Isn't this true? Yeah. You think about that. Now, here's the third thing. And welcome to the world of Christian witnessing. One group will try and kill the light. Sorry. Welcome to the world of being a witness for the Lord. The only way you can stop the light, because light cannot be stopped, is actually to put the light out. It's the only way you can stop it. It's the only way you can stop it. You can't turn a darkness light into a light room. It doesn't work, because it's all revealed. Anyway, we won't dwell too much on that. But that's what happened. That's what light does. For behold, thick darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You will be able to understand. You will be able to see all things, know all things, know things as they truly are. I think I was going to say that darkness has been in the world from the beginning when the time in the garden when Adam decided to believe a lie. He believed a lie, and that shut him out, cut him out, said, I don't want this stuff anymore. I believed a lie and bought the lie, stepped into the lie, and the Lord said, you can't walk in this anymore. It's the light of life. If I leave you here, you will be like this for all eternity. I think it says that in Genesis 3, you had to cast them out because they'll live forever with the stuff in them. And death entered them because they believed the lie. That's what happens in this world. That's truth. This is a lie, ultimately. But it doesn't stop there, thankfully. Gets better again.
For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord. But the Lord. In the scriptures, there's always a but the Lord. There's always, hey, it's not so, hey, but the Lord. The Lord. And then he says, the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. So he said, it's already there and it will be seen by others. It will arise on you and his glory will be seen upon you. Oh, no, I've just got this little light. You know the song? I mean, I've probably stirred about this before. This little light. Remember we used to sing it at Kiddy Winkies? I didn't, because wasn't saved when I was a kid. But you know, we sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little, and I think, you know, and I think it's so cute. Such a lovely song. Can you tell me, this? Answer me this question. Is there a junior Holy Spirit? Is there? So why do we say this little light? Jesus is the light of the world. Who lives in us? The light of the world. He's not a little light. He's a huge light. He can shine through us. In spite of us. All he wants us to do is follow. Doesn't say follow perfectly. Doesn't say have your act together. Just come, follow me. I'll help you along the way. I'll be there, strengthen you, lift you up, do what's necessary for you. But he says, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. And his light is not a little light of mine. It's a thumping great massive one. Brighter than the sun that lights our day. This is learning to trust that this is the reality that we walk in. And I know it's difficult. I know some of you are finding in, but I can't do that. No, you can't. That's why the Holy Spirit's in us. That's why we've got this beautiful Spirit of God who comes to strengthen us and say, it's okay, I'm with you. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. Just go out and do stuff. It'll be okay. Because look at what happens when we begin to do it, no matter how stumblingly, no matter how small we might do it. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen. See those strong words? One's past tense, one's future tense. Your light has come, the glory has risen on you, and the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen. So it's going to happen in the future, it's happened in the past. We're right in it. Today, right in it. Every one of us right now has the glory of God upon us. I know what I've forgotten to do. What's the glory of God? That's a good question, isn't it? I better answer that question, didn't I? Should have followed my notes, you see. Don't know where I am in my notes now. I'll never clue. What is the glory of God? Mary will probably tell me if I sat down. This is my take on it. Then maybe if Mary thinks it's in heresy, she can correct me. The glory of God is simply the manifest, the glory of God is simply the attributes of God made manifest. That sounds pretty counselor. Oh, yeah, no, yes, I really agree with that. What the fat do you mean by that? The glory of God is the attributes of God made manifest. What that means, whatever Jesus carried, whatever of God people saw on Jesus, it's on us. See, the glory of God is his goodness. It's his everlasting love. It's his wisdom. It's his mercy. All the attributes, you know, the things that make God who he is, made manifest on us, through us. That's the glory of God. Not only is it those things, it's those things which created the earth, that by a word things were made. It's his power made manifest on us as well. So all the goodness, the love, the mercy, the fruit of the Spirit, basically. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All those things are the manifest, they're the attributes of God. Unchanging. He is unchanging. He is eternal. These things don't shift around. These things are made manifest over us. Yes. God. I look at that verse and I think, now that takes faith. If I look at myself and I think, nah, that doesn't happen. Yeah? But he says it does. How many of you have been in situations and you're at work or something? This is how it manifests. People say to you, why do you do that? What is it about you that's different? See, people know. I don't know. How many of you had that experience? Hopefully all of you. I hope you've all had some similar kind of experience where people have said to you, well, there's something different about you. Why are you like that? Like, you know, Jill says, what? Why are you smiling? I'm a Jesus girl. Do you know? Because the glory of God has been made manifest over us. Whether we know it or not, we can be the most useless Christian and wimpy, but in darkness, that glory is seen. You with me? It's His glory, His man, and His power can be made is made manifest over us too. We just walk in it, bathe in it, believe it's there. Believe it's there. Believe that God's doing something through us and His power is available for us. Any moment of the day, this is the battle. And then He says, nation shall come to your light. Our light, our light. Who is, of course, Jesus. Don't confuse it. You know, we are but like the moon. You know, there's no light in us and other than simply we are made in God's image. We are these beautifully shaped vessels that were made for His light and glory to dwell in. You with me? But it's His light. But He says, you are the light. So we get to own it. We get to say it's mine as well. And nations, people, the word, I looked at the word nations and I was expecting to see ethnos, but that must be the Greek word if there's any scholars. This is the goyim. Whatever. Anyway, nations just means, it just basically meant people who were not Jews, non-Hebrews, which means all those who are not part of a covenant relationship with God. That's all it means. In a New Testament context, anyone outside of a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's all it means. Nations, people who are outside that covenant relation shall come to your light. Shall come, not maybe they will and maybe they won't. It shall come to your light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Officials, those in leadership, those who have influence, those who rule and reign, they shall come to your light. That's powerful stuff. Now, this is obviously prophesying to a nation. But in the New Testament context, it's different. We don't rule nations in the sense of, you know, we Christians are now going to rule England. We influence nations. But nations will come because they're here. People in leadership will come because they're longing for wisdom. Most people, except unless they're in a nation which is truly deceived and they don't let other people with a different opinion rule. Most leaders, I think, genuinely want to do their best. You know, we were at the parish council, and these lovely bunch of people, they don't know the Lord, but they want to do their best. They have a heart for their community. They want to try and do something for the people in their community. They don't want their community going downhill. There may be pride in it and all those kind of other things mixed up in it. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? They still want to see something happen in their community. That's how it works. Nations and kings will come to your rising. Isn't this exciting? This stirs my blood, this chapter, this three verses. I hope it stirs yours. You're looking at me blankly thinking, oh, I don't know about this here. Oh, I don't know if I want this. On my good days, I really, really, really want this. I'm just working on my bad days that I really, really want it as well. Nations shall come to you like kings to the brightness of your rising. Somewhere in the scriptures, the Lord said, and the world shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. You don't have to quote. If you know where it is, that's fine. The glory of the Lord, Habakkuk, there we go. It's in Habakkuk. The glory of the Lord shall cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. What do you think that glory might be? What do you think that glory might look like? Might it just look like gazillions of His people carrying the manifest glory of God over their lives? Because I think we hear that the glory of it, and it's some sort of amazing thing. Oh, it's that something ethereal, sort of spiritual thing that's way out there. You know, oh yes, it'll be wonderful. And the glory of the Lord comes, yes. But the glory of the Lord, for I think he loves people. He loves people. His passion in his heart is for people. The glory of the Lord covering the earth will be people filled with his light and in whom his glory dwells. That's what he wants, I think. I think I've built a good case for it too. You think I've built a good case for it, haven't I, Florence? Yeah. Florence says yes because she's lovely. Even if she disagrees with me, she'll come to me later. There was a load of rubbish. Because she's not Auntie G. Auntie Florence. But that's what the glory is. It's what God wants. So, where am I going with this? We are told a number of things. Let me just say, also, faith only, I'll get to that. Oh, I've messed my notes up. But I can remember. Who was it that said got their pages back? It was you, wasn't it? But I've done the same thing. But then I do it all the time. Just remember, this is not a dictatorship. You know, God's not a dictator saying, do this or pfft. He wants a partnership. We are co-workers. He wants co-laborers. He wants people who will work with him. You know, the authority to change the world has been given to us. I think it's twice in Matthew, might be once in Luke, but I'm pretty sure it's twice in Matthew. Remember these words? Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. This is the NASB version. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. What the fat is that? To me, that's huge authority. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Really? Yes. Whatever. Seriously, God? Well, that's the original plan. It's what you and I were made for. To take over the world. In that garden, we were given, this is the blueprint, go and do it to the rest of the world. Go and do it to the rest of the solar system. Go and do it to the rest of the universe. What do you think he's made the universe so big? Not just to show off his glory, which it does. Anyway, like you heard me rave on about this. I think he actually wanted us to be populating those places. You know, science fiction tells us, oh, you know, in the star quadrant, blah, 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 blah. No one knows how to do that yet. God does. God knows right now how that can be done. But we've cut ourselves off. Anyway, don't worry about it. Just my daydream, I think. Things would have been. Never mind. Doesn't matter. I'm getting sidetracked, as I often do. Where was I up to? The garden, that's right, that we're called to extend the glory of the Lord as his people. Now, as I understand the scriptures, we do this by just two things. In Galatians 5:6, it says, for the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Oh, no, he goes, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Going back to the Jewish religious rites, religious behavior, religious rules and regulations. Those things do not count. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's the only thing that counts. So there's only two things you and I have to worry about. Two things you and I need help with. Two things that you and I need to ask the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Two things to work on, our faith and our love. Do you know, it's interesting, in James the first chapter, I didn't realize this until recently, I think I was listening to someone's sermon, he said, count it all joy when you face trials of your character. Oh, they're all nodding, yes, saying yes, that doesn't say that. I always thought it did, doesn't. He said, count it all joy, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you have faced trials of your faith. Isn't that amazing? Because the other that it talks in Paul goes on, I mean, this was this was James. And Paul goes on in Romans 5, says, you know, just be joyful or something or other when these trials come. And that tends more to character, but it's perseverance. Faith brings perseverance. The trials of faith create perseverance, which then produces character. Strength of character is what God wants. And character, most expressed, the kind of character that how God wants it expressed, is love. Only two things you have to worry about, faith and love, and ask God to increase it. And it doesn't take much. You see, the Lord said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can command that mountain and it will be cast into the sea. And I think, well, it can't be that much. He rejoices over any little bit. And he pours his power, he pours his water, he pours his fire on it, that it will grow. Just so long as we keep following him, so long as we keep our eyes on him. And the glory of the Lord will be manifest way beyond we ever thought possible. We will influence things way beyond we ever dreamed it could possibly happen. Just have to remember, it's his glory. It's not ours, it's his. But we get to do it. This is the cool thing. You and I get to do it. We get to do the stuff God wants us to do. Not a, oh, we have to go and pray for this, we have to love this person, rotten people don't like him anyway. Risen, stupid Christian life. We get to do it. It's not a drudge. It's not a burden. The surrender into the heart of God is to be one of joyful surrender because he fills with his presence and his power and his joy. We get to do it. We get to manifest the glory and power of God. So faith and love. And one of the things that I've struggled with just loving, you know, it talks about loving people unconditionally. It's what we do with the fun days and everything like that. The important thing to remember is this, and we handed out roses. Well, the ladies did. It probably wasn't very appropriate for us guys to go handing out roses to the ladies there. But anyway, the ladies on Tuesday went handing out all these roses to people. Now you say, well, what's the point of that? You know, you didn't witness about Jesus and da-da-da. Well, it depended. Sab said, God bless you. You know, I don't know what the other part was. Just was hanging around with my wife. Here's the point. When people are loved, even in the smallest measure, something happens in their hearts. They are changed. They are softened. You with me? They are softened. And a softened heart will receive the light of the gospel much easier. Now, it may not be you or I who has to jump in on that little act of love and say, well, now you've got to hear the gospel. No, let the Lord deal with that. A heart has been lifted up, a smile, even a smile. Someone's heart has been lifted, they've been lifted, their burden's been lifted up. So the right God will have the right person to come along and begin to minister that person because now their heart is softer because of it. I never used to believe this. I just thought, no, you've got to preach the gospel all the time. Just tell them. Not that I was very good at it, but that's what I did, you know. Because someone said to me, how do you know that just loving people like that doesn't change? Oh, well, because I was told people can't guess the gospel, so you have to tell them. Well, it's possibly true. But I think people's hunger, you know, if people get a soft heart and there's got to be something more, hunger draws the presence of God. Hunger draws the wisdom of God. Hunger draws the power of God. Hunger draws the glory of God. And I think we're ready to rip. I think we're ready to rip. If we get a handle on this, people, I just really, really encourage you to, like I'm encouraging myself, to every day just use the scripture, use this scripture as a declaration over your life. Speak it to yourself. Ian, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has, emphasize those tenses, has risen upon you. For darkness cover the earth, darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon me, and his glory will be seen upon me. And nations shall come to my light, and kings to the brightness of my rising. I don't think it's wrong to make it personal. Because if we all do that, we're all going to carry a lot of light and glory. Give it a go. Keep doing it. I am. I've started. I mean, I have, you know, I've got other declarations too that are other scriptures that I read out, you know, regularly. But when we got that prophecy from that lady last week, It just grabbed me again. And what took me was that's one of my favorite verses. That's our today verse. That's for the church today. It's for today. So let me just encourage you to pick up that verse and run with it. Or, better still, let the verse run with you. Let it get in your system. Let it become part of your life. Let it become that which you can't live without unless I say this, sucker. And as I said, you might be going through hell. Keep saying it until the hell disappears, because the lies disappear before the depression, until the depression lifts. And sometimes it takes a while to keep declaring it. You just grit your teeth and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. And get into it. Amen. Is that all right? Why don't we pray?